Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have one subject we want to discuss this week. Why does Hashem give the Jewish people 613 commandments? He gives the Gentiles, B'nai Noach, 7 commandments. And he gives the Jewish people 613 commandments, Tariag HaMitzvot. Why so many commandments? God obviously wants to benefit us. God's intentions are only to do good and only to benefit us and only to give us good as much as possible. So why would a loving God who created us in order to benefit us and because he loves his creation, why would he burden us, in quotes, with so many commandments? Because usually when you command someone to do things and you put restrictions on them, that causes suffering. That doesn't cause happiness, that causes unhappiness, it causes suffering. You tell people they can't do 39 different things during Shabbat, during the Sabbath. And then there are all types of extensions to those 39 things that we're banned from doing on Shabbat. And we can only eat certain foods. And we can only do certain things even on holidays. And so on. All types of restrictions. Why would God give us these restrictions? Now, you could say, well, you need the restrictions, you need to do the commandments in order to get a place, ba'olam haba, in the next world. The next world is eternal life. In the next world, we have eternal life and true happiness and a magnificent existence that we can't even imagine. So in order to get into the next world, your entry ticket for the next world is doing the commandments. But why does God have to do that? Why should we have to have commandments? Why not just let us go into the next world without the commandments? Why create this tremendous burden in this world? Why not make us happy in this world and in the next world? And the answer is, the commandments that God has given us are not only for the next world, are not only to achieve eternal life, ba'olam haba. The commandments that God gives us are also to make life better in this world. The commandments, if followed and if observed in this world, make this world infinitely better. Create a much better environment in this life, and this life is indeed a test. But even in this test environment that we live in, our life will be much more meaningful and much better and a much higher quality life if we observe the commandments. We'll be happier, we'll be better off if we observe the commandments. How's that possible? How's it possible that putting restrictions on people can make people feel happier and make people better off? Well, first of all, let's understand that life without God's laws and God's rules is a nightmare because of human nature. Human beings are born with certain qualities that have to be tamed, that have to be corrected in order for human beings to achieve the spiritual existence that they want to achieve and that leads to happiness. For instance, human beings are born with ka'as. Ka'as is anger. A lot of people feel tremendous anger. Sometimes it's hidden, sometimes it's pent-up anger. But there are a lot of people who walk around with tremendous sense of anger all the time. Anger and frustration and anger. You're not going to be happy if you're angry. An angry person is not a happy person. And people feel a tremendous sense of jealousy, kina. A lot of people are jealous, kina in Hebrew. Jealousy or envy. You can't be happy if you're jealous. Every time something happens, every time somebody gets a bigger house than you, or a bigger car than you, or a better job than you, or a promotion that you wanted, or better grades in school if you're a student in school, whatever the reason is, or they marry somebody that you feel they were more successful in terms of the wife that they got than your wife. All of these things can lead to tremendous jealousy and a million other things. A million other things in life. It leads to kina, to jealousy. A jealous person who's always filled with envy cannot be happy. We have ga'ava, pride. This pride, this arrogance, this desire for kavod, for honor all the time. If you're always super proud, if you think you're number one in everything you're doing, and people don't respect you and don't understand what a great person you are, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll always think, why am I required to do all of these things? Why doesn't the world recognize what a great person I am? That's ga'ava, that's pride. And ta'ava, lust. If you lust after money, if you lust after women, or if you're a woman and you lust after men, or you, in other words, sexual lust. If you lust after excitement, that leads to gambling addiction, compulsive gambling. If your lusting causes you to want to escape all the time and leads you to engage in drug use or alcohol use. All of these things, these ta'avot, this also can never bring happiness. You'll never be satisfied with these things because they never last. And they never bring true happiness. They only bring greater frustration. And the more you achieve, the more someone who drinks and enjoys drinking, the more they drink, the more they're going to want to drink. They're going to get when they're sober, they'll be miserable, so they're going to have to go back to drinking again to again try to kill off their mind. And by the way, what's the point of living if your mind isn't fully functioning? What's the point of being in this world to begin with? You can't be happy if you have these bad characteristics that some people to a greater degree are more lustful, some people to a greater degree are more arrogant or egotistical. Some people to a greater degree have greater jealousy. Some people to a greater degree feel greater sense of anger. All of these things weigh down on people, make them unhappy and depressed, make them miserable. And they have not only a tremendous spiritual and psychological impact, eventually a physical impact, eventually it impacts on your health. Did you know that religious people and happy people live longer? People who are religious and people that are happy live longer. That's just a fact. Many studies have been taken showing this. Even though secular people tend to be wealthier, tend to be better educated than religious people, the religious people live longer and are happier. And are healthier as well. In other words, not only is their life in terms of quantity longer, but also in terms of quality, it's better. We see the consequences of a society where people are angry and bitter and frustrated and jealous and lustful, especially when it comes to money and material things and sexual things and all types of running after honors and ego. We see the consequences. You know, over 70,000 Americans died of drug overdoses last year. Most of them were between the ages of 35 and 54. People in their 30s and 40s taking drug overdoses, killing themselves. Most of them were white. Drug overdoses. Over 70,000 people dying of a drug overdose. And by the way, that does not even scratch the surface. That's a very tiny number compared to the number of Americans who die from complications from overuse of drugs. That's not counted as a drug overdose. People die of heart attacks and strokes and all types of illnesses because they're overusing drugs and because they're abusing drugs. It weakens your immune system. It does all types of things. It disrupts the chemical. It disrupts the proper the proper chemical reactions in your body. And millions of Americans are drug addicts, millions of Americans are alcoholics, many millions of Americans are gambling, compulsive gamblers, sports gambling, blackjack, all types of gambling games. There are casinos all over the country now. It used to be just in Vegas and in Atlantic City. Now it's sprung up all over the place. And you never win when you gamble. You never win in the end. If you're a gambler in the end, you will always lose. You know, I spent 5.5 years in prison because of the bombings that I did to free Soviet Jewry when I was the head of the Jewish Defense League. And I was locked up with the heads of mafia families, Fat Tony Salerno and John Gotti and other heads of families. I was in Unit 9 South at the MCC in New York with them, in federal prison with them. And Tony Salerno once said to me, one of the biggest mobsters in American history, everybody was sitting down in the room. We were all sitting there one day in the prison. And someone asked him, one of the younger members of his organization asked him and said to him, "Hey, Tony, how do you bet on horses? What do you do? I mean, what's the trick? How do you get a good horse? I mean, what do you bet on the odds-on favorite? Or you bet on the one that's not? How do you win? I mean, what's the secret? How do you win in the casino? How do you win?" And Tony Salerno, who owned big shares in the casino world and had the big percentages of the businesses in the casino world, said, "A gambler never wins. A gambler is always a loser. The house always wins in the end." So these people, tens of millions of people, who for them a major part of their life is gambling, they are losers, certain losers, who live a life that is completely illogical and crazy. They're never going to come out on top. And they're never going to find happiness. And the same is true for all addictive behaviors. And the same is true for all the things we chase after in this world that are just an illusion, that are just a joke and illusion. You see, you can't find happiness in life unless you have true meaning in life. Now, if you knew you're doing what the creator of the universe, God, wants you to do, that gives true meaning to your life. On the other hand, if you're not, or if you don't believe in God at all, if you don't really know, you know, that life doesn't have any real meaning, especially when you get older. I mean, I'm 62 years old. I could tell you people my age, most people my age, are miserable. And because they know the end is coming, and they did not fulfill all the dreams that they wanted to fulfill. They didn't even come close. And they have all types, and you know, the problems continue in life. And if you don't have some meaning in life, if you don't have a purpose in life, a truly great defined purpose in life, you can't be happy. You have to have true meaning in life. And also, if you believe that when you die, it's all over, then I don't care how much you're enjoying your life now, and most people are not, very few people are. You may get certain pleasures in life when you're working to achieve something. For instance, one thing that gives people pleasure in life, when they're in a business and they're working to build up the business, and the business is starting to become profitable and they're starting to see money come in, while that cash register is ringing and while they're beginning to get money and so on and so forth, they're happy. There's a temporary happiness there. But you know something? Once they get the money, and once they achieve everything they wanted to achieve, and then they realize that, hey, what was this all about? Do you know, I mean, we live 24 hours a day, right? You have a 24-hour day life. 8 hours a day is sleep. Should be normal. People should sleep about 8 hours a day. If you're sleeping less, it could be unhealthy. If you're sleeping more, it's unhealthy. Let's say people sleep 8 hours a day. And let's say people work 8 hours a day in order to make a living, the average person. That means 16 hours a day, two-thirds of your life, is gone already just working to have a roof over your head, to it's not just a roof over your head, it's to have whatever luxuries or whatever other things you think you're getting for yourself. 16 hours a day, two-thirds of your life is going for either work or sleep. The other 8 hours, you got to do shopping, you got to pay bills, you got to do all types of essentials. You've got all type. You got to clean. You got to shower. You got to eat. You got all types of things that you have to do in life. You don't have much time for yourself. And then what do you do when you have? Let's say you have a few hours a day for yourself. Just a few hours, and that really doesn't say much. If out of 24 hours a day you're getting 3 or 4 hours of free time for you to enjoy yourself, in other words, you're working 20 hours and working, sleeping, and basically investing 20 hours of your life to get 4 hours, and during that 4 hours, what are you doing? Watching television? Going on the internet? Watching a movie? I mean, what are you doing? Is that it? If that's it, we're in a lot of trouble. What if somebody told you, God forbid you have 24 hours to live? What would you do during the next 24 hours? What if somebody told you, let's say it's a week to live. Or if you knew the day you were going to die, you knew that, God forbid, 8 years from now you're going to die, or 22 years from now you're going to die, or even 30 years from now you're going to die. But if you knew for sure you're going to die on that day, how would that change your life? What would you do? We all have a death sentence hanging over us. The question is death final, or is there another world after this? But we all have a death sentence hanging over us. And we all spend the vast majority of our lives just investing in existence, existential necessities, sleep, work, eating, showering, cleaning the house, shopping, all the things that you got to do, going to the bank, all the things you got to do, doing things for our family. Our life, in the end, is just a life of basically existing. And it's a lot better than it was years ago. Years ago, when we didn't have all of these inventions and all of these gadgets and all these other things, it was even more of a struggle. And yet, the more we advance technologically and the wealthier we become as a society, the more unhappy people are. Suicide rates among young people are sky high. There's an epidemic of opioid addiction. Why would young white people want to put heroin in their veins or other opioids? Why would they want to do that? It's insane. Did you know that the surveys have shown that as many as 50% of young people today believe that they're addicted to one degree or another to the internet? It used to be kids would spend, remember there was always a complaint in the 50s, 60s, 70s, kids spend, it's crazy, kids spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day watching television. That was also a crazy, very unhealthy addiction that accomplishes nothing. You think when you see people walking down the street and they're with their gadgets and even when they're sitting on a train or on a bus or whatever they're doing, they can't get rid of those gadgets. They can't stop there. They can't even walk down the street. They can't stop for 1 minute. Tens of millions of people, maybe hundreds of millions, addicted to what? To what? What are they accomplishing on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these social media sites? What are they accomplishing? What is it all leading to? If they were doing something there that was for the benefit, for instance, if they're Jews and they're doing something for the benefit of the Jewish people, that's meaningful. That I could understand. That has there's meaning to that. But very few people are doing that. Very, very few Jews are Jewish activists. Very few people are activists to try to make this a better world. Most of the people who would call themselves activists, even the few that are involved in causes, usually the causes are bad causes. left-wing causes, all types of bad causes. And so we have a situation now where, did you know, surveys show that 50% of young people in some surveys say they're addicted to the internet? 50%? They spend hours and hours every day, all of their free time on the internet. Some of them practically don't eat all day. They're just on the internet, constantly on the internet. They don't even want to eat, they don't want to drink, they don't want to sleep, they don't want to do anything. They just want to stay on the internet. They have problems concentrating in school. They have problems going to work because they're on the internet. Doing what? The loneliness, the boredom, the frustration, the sadness, the jealousy, the anger. This is a life without meaning. The mitzvot of the Torah, the commandments, give you meaning in life if they're observed properly. If they're observed properly. If they're observed with the intention of trying to make this a better world. I'm observing these commandments because God commanded me to, and because I know it'll make me a better Jew, and because as a better Jew, I can do things to make this a better world. And part of those commandments is living in the land of Israel and working for the land of Israel and working for the Jewish people and working against evil and working for justice and righteousness and truth. If you do that and believe and really believe in that and really follow that, then at least you have meaning in life. Then your observance of Shabbat, of the Sabbath, and your observance of Kashrut, of the kosher dietary laws, and your observance of all the other laws, family purity and all the other laws, add meaning to your life, make you happy, and you'll be less angry. Judaism, if properly observed, teaches people how to cope with life. Studying, you have to study, of course, you have to study the Torah and the Talmud. And if you study, I'm telling you, if you study and you study properly, I am telling you for sure, you will have less anger and less jealousy and less frustration in life and less lust and greed and envy and pride. You'll be a humbler person. You'll understand that you have nothing without God. Everything in this world God has given you. Everything, all your talent has been given to you by God. You created nothing. God gave you all of this. Now, what you do with it, with your own free will, then you do get credit. And then it does become something that's satisfying. And you'll have satisfaction in life if you feel you're doing something good and you do something good. If you accomplish something good, if you save someone's life, do you know what type of happiness that can bring? If you wake people up and bring the truth to people and bring hope to people and bring light to this world, do you know what type of happiness that can bring in your life? What type of sense of satisfaction that can bring in your life? It'll help you when you're growing old. It'll help you when you feel all types of problems that come across, that'll come across everybody's life, all of us. It'll help you. And of course it will also help you get into the next world, Ha'olam Haba, eternal life. Jews are dreamers, idealists, real Jews. Today's generation, of course, that goes against everything Judaism, the Jews of today, the assimilated Jews of today, are the opposite of what Jews are supposed to be. They're the ultimate pragmatists. They're practical, they're business people, the ultimate pragmatists. But Jews that follow Torah Judaism are dreamers, are idealists. They dream of defeating death. They dream of making this a better world. They dream of a world where everybody gives. They dream of a world where you wake up in the morning and everywhere you go, people are giving you and you're giving to everybody. A world that will be built eventually in the days of the Mashiach and the Messiah. You leave the house. You don't pay for the bus or the car or the taxi, and everybody comes to give you and serve you openly and happily, and you serve them openly and happily. And everyone in the world, we're all brothers and sisters. Do you have any idea what type of happiness there would be in a world like that? And if it's a world of eternal life? That's the world Jews dream of creating. And that's the world that will come about someday. God gave us the mitzvot of the Torah, not just for the next world, but for this world as well, to give us happiness and meaning and hope in this world, and to teach us that we have a higher calling in this world. We have a higher purpose in life, a great purpose, a magnificent purpose. God has given us the ability to create things. We start out creating nothing. We've created nothing. We are nothing. God gave us everything that we have. And then we have the power to create new ideas and new thoughts and new possibilities. God gave us this power to do good in the world, really good. Anyway, here in JTF, you know that we're continuing our battle to try to bring the truth to the people of Israel. And you know that over 200,000 people have gone to our latest video campaign. We had a video campaign before that with another 50,000. So we've reached over 250,000 people just since the summer. Just since the summer, over 250,000 Israeli Jews have seen our videos. I even here in the United States, I meet Israeli Jews who tell me, "Yeah, I saw you. Oh, I know you. I saw your video. I saw your advertisement, your video." They see us. I'm seeing it even among Israelis that are here in the United States. But we have 6 million Jews in Israel, and we don't want to reach them with just one message. We want to reach as many as possible, so we're fighting to do that. We're fighting to bring the truth to the people of Israel. Because if we redeem the people of Israel, and we bring the truth to the people of Israel, and we create a truly Jewish state where we follow the laws that God has given us, the blueprint that the creator of the universe has given us. Because, you know, it's like if you got a new computer and you didn't have a blueprint and you don't have instructions, you can't function. You can't do anything without it, without some instructions, without knowing what the creator of the program tells you that you have to do. You could be the most brilliant computer programmer in the world. You'd have to rebuild the computer from scratch if you didn't have some sort of instruction, some sort of guide as to what to do. So God would not put us in this world without a guide, without giving us a blueprint for what to do. And he did in the Torah. And he did. And anyone who truly studies and goes into depth in the Torah will see without any doubt that that's the word of God, that the prophecies are coming true, that the Torah is truth, that the Jewish people really are the chosen people. There's no question about it. You have to be blind not to see it from history, from reality, from current events, from the way the world is. When we decide to follow what should be our purpose in life, and we decide to understand that we're just humble beings in this world, we're nothing. We're nothing. The only way we become something is when we decide to serve God and do what's right to make this a better world. And if we do that together here in JTF for the Jews of Israel, because that's really where the action is in terms of bringing redemption to the world, if we do that, then we can change history. And then there truly is meaning in life. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.